We're going to finish the final chapter in the Gospel of John after the first of the year, Lord willing. So we're just going to put the pause button there, though we're right at the end. We've got one more chapter, which is the epilogue. We'll just summarize and conclude the study of John there after the first of the year. So I thought I would just do a little Christmas meditation. And I want to just share a meditation drawn from the story of the wise men. It's only recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. That's where the story of the wise men is found. And as I mentioned earlier, it's the only recorded words in the story that the wise men actually say when they make this great journey from the east is, "Where's the one who was born, King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Not we've come to talk to him. Not we've come to learn from him. Not we've come to be blessed by him. Just we have come to worship him." And when we read the story, you'll see that when they find him, that's exactly what they do. They worship him, and they go back home. There's no instruction, not a long conversation. Jesus is pretty little, probably. Not a lot of comments. But they just worship and then go back home. So here's the story. Get it back in our minds. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So that story, well known. I want us to think a little bit about those three gifts, that gold and frankincense and myrrh. When the wise men find Jesus, they worship him. When they worship him, two things are said in the text. They fall down. So they bow before him in worship. And then the second thing that's said is they open their treasures and offer gifts. And they give three things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those three gifts give rise to the tradition that there were three wise men. It doesn't actually say that, but since there are three gifts, they could all bring one. And so that's how we get to three wise men. If you've ever heard meditations about the three gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, typically some reflection on what's the significance of those gifts. Probably you have heard something like this. Focus on how those gifts say something about Jesus. You know, how such gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, are appropriate to give to Jesus, given who he is and given what he's going to do. And somehow those gifts testify to who he is and what he's going to do. So the gold points to the fact that he's going to be a king, perhaps. This is a royal thing. The frankincense perhaps points to the fact that his divinity, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord, something like that. And the myrrh, he's going to give his life, lay down his life as a ransom for many. So as you reflect on significance, those gifts speak prophetically of Jesus. You know, they point to things about him. They articulate things about him. I think that's well and good, although I'm going to take a little bit different approach today. I want us to consider those three gifts, not for what they say about Jesus, about who he is and what he's going to do, but what they say about what we should offer to Jesus. What gift should we give to the newborn king? Things probably symbolized or represented in those gifts, that what should characterize our worship of the one born to be king? What should mark our worship as we bow before the one born king of the Jews? So I want to think mostly just about those three gifts and how they maybe say something about what we should offer to the one who's king. But I just want you to know that when they find Jesus, they fall down. I don't think it's possible to worship, or we're not worshiping, or you're not worshiping, or I'm not worshiping until you fall down, until you bow. So they do that. Something that is done and given only to God. We'll come back to that at the end, but just note that I don't think you should fall down or bow before anyone except God. Because worship belongs to Him alone. You know, not to your spouse, not to your kids, not to your boss, not to the president, not to your friend, not to the movie star, not to the athlete. You know, only to God. And you know, only there, and before only Him, do you bow. But that's what they do. So they just fall down. But then they open up their treasures and they offer these three gifts. So consider those three things, somehow perhaps representing things that we should offer, things that should mark and characterize our gifts. So gold. We should offer gold. In the scripture, gold represents the divine. Things that are made of gold always bear the mark of the divine nature. Things that were made in the tabernacle and in the temple, when you got inside the tabernacle or the temple, the house of God, everything was gold. So gold has the mark of God about it, the divine nature about it. So that we should offer to Jesus something that bears the mark of God, bears the mark of divinity. Not man-made, but God-made. In the scripture, wood is characteristic of the human, things made out of wood. And you remember, like in the tabernacle, some of the furniture is made of wood, but then overlaid with gold. Some things were made just of pure gold, only gold. But there are some things that are human and then overlaid. They're covered by things of God. But that we should offer not wood, not man-made stuff, but you should offer to the king things that bear the mark of God. Things that bear the mark of His presence, His Spirit, His working. Consider the phrase that we perhaps use sometimes where you might say to somebody, you know, I see the Lord in you. What kinds of things would make you say that to another person? I see the Lord in you. But whatever that is that makes us say, you know, I see the Lord in you, that's the kind of thing we should offer, because it bears God mark on it, a mark of His nature. If you think about that, you'll realize you don't say, I see the Lord in you, just because you have stuff or have something. You know, it's not like I drive up to your house and see that you live in a big house and I go, oh, I see the Lord in you. You know, I see a big house. Or it's not because you have good looks or that because you have talent. It's not because you have lots of money that I or anybody would say to you, oh, I see you got a big bank balance, I see the Lord in you. Or you're very handsome or very pretty, I see the Lord in you. That's not the kind of, we might be impressed by such things, but those don't make us say, I see the Lord. We tend to say, I see the Lord in you, not because of the things that you have, material or immaterial, but what you do with it causes me to see the Lord or not. So maybe it's a small gift as far as like the amount of money, but I see you give $2 to the person who needs just a hamburger, and I go, oh, you know what? I see the Lord in you. And you know, whether it's $2 or $5,000, it's something of the employment of that resource that says, you know, I see something of God there. So something of God marks that. And the kind of thing that we should offer to the Lord are things that bear His mark and bear His stamp. Gold things are precious, not just for what they are. The gold watch is precious, not just because it's a watch. The gold necklace, the gold ring, things that are made of gold are precious, not just for what they are. They're precious and valuable because of what they're made out of. The $5 Casio watch can tell time as good as the gold watch. The gold one is more valuable because it's what it's made out of. So I want to encourage you, as you consider what you should offer to the Lord, offer him gold. Things that you have received from him that bear his mark, that bear his nature, that's what you should give. If I just give one personal example, when I stand up here and teach you, I would like to offer to you gold, something from God. I could probably fabricate something out of wood that I could offer to you. And wood's a lot cheaper than gold. I could probably make a big thing out of wood. And then I could stain it and put polyurethane on it and make it look quite impressive, but it would be wood. So like the desire of my own heart is to offer you not something that's Roger made, but something that has God stamped on it. Something that came from him. Something that has some gold in it. So there's like one example for me of, Lord, help me find the gold, and I want to offer that to you and to your people in this case. But find something for you that came from God, offer it to the king. Frankincense. Two things repeatedly noted in the scripture about frankincense, about incense. The first thing is that it's fragrant. It's always the fragrant stuff. So it's sweet smelling. It's a pleasing aroma. It's soothing. It's the kind of thing you'd read on the back of those tea bags. It's a pleasing aroma and it's soothing and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing said about incense. So that it's fragrant is the first thing. And the second thing is that you burn it. You always burn the fragrant incense. So frankincense is about a couple of issues. The first one is what uses you up. What consumes you? What do you spend yourself on? What burns you up? So what things burn up a lot of you? Burn up a lot of your time, burn up a lot of your energy, burn up a lot of your talent, burn up a lot of your life. So I don't think this is the idea of burn in anger. It's more like burn energy, burn who you are and the resources that you have, burn your life. So it has that idea of what you work hard at. What you're devoted to, what you're diligent about. So it has this idea of what uses you up. But then the second idea that's brought up here is incense is about how you smell when you burn. So when you work at it, is the aroma that you give off when you start working hard at it sweet or sour? Probably all of us have experienced that situation where we're going to do the Christmas pageant, okay? Celebrating the birth of Jesus and the peace on earth, goodwill to men, and we want to capture that, and so we're going to work on the Christmas pageant. And then you start working hard at it, and as soon as you start working hard at it, kind of like, stand there, you're the shepherd, you're waiting for God to bring peace on earth, so don't move until I tell you to. Oh, okay. Wow. So you start working at it, and you're like, man, it stinks in here now. Right? Because as you start to burn, as you start to work at it, it's not sweet. So that issue is in here, too. What you would work hard at, what you would burn up your energy, burn up your life for, and then how you smell when you do that. We often try to make Christianity something that's not too hard. We want to make it easy so that you won't have to burn anything to follow Jesus. It's really easy to do it. Here is the ministry you can do with very little effort. Here is a ministry that will cost you hardly anything. It won't hardly bother you a bit. One of the things, if I'm honest, that bugs me a little bit, whenever people want to do an appointment with me, it has to be convenient. But when you call your plumber with a leak in your house, you don't say, well, when it would be convenient, could you stop by? Right? You say, get over here and fix the leak. Right? You want them to work hard at it. It doesn't have to be easy. But something that's often in our thought about things of the Lord is, well, we only do them if it's easy, if it's only convenient. But this, to offer to the king frankincense, offer to something, yeah, this burns me up. You know, it's hard. Work hard at it. But even at the working hard, kind of even at the being diligent, it's sweet, soothing, but smells nice. It's the kind of thing that you read like at the end of the letters where so-and-so worked hard for you in the Lord. That's incense. So-and-so, a choice servant in the Lord. It's sweet-smelling, works hard. You know, it has that aroma about it of something that's pleasing to the Lord. So, second thing kind of that we should consider offering to the king is just be willing to burn for the sake of the Lord. Use it up for the Lord. And when you use it up and while you're doing so, it smells nice. It's not sour, it's not bitter, but it's pleasing. So then the third thing, myrrh. Also a fragrance. Frankincense, though, is the high and the holy and the sweet thing. Myrrh, on the other hand, kind of speaks to the thing that's really deep. The word that always jumps to my mind when I think of myrrh is costly. Myrrh is about that kind of thing about which you might say, it comes at the cost of many lives. We might say that sometimes, say, about liberty or something as a country. This is something that comes at the cost of many lives. So there's something kind of deep and costly about it. Myrrh is a thing that bears the marks of suffering and of death. One of the fragrances always used to anoint the dead. Myrrh is not burned. It's an extract that's kind of, you get by squeezing stuff and then you anoint the dead body with it. There's that old story, chicken and the pig walking by the big conference, you know, and all these people gathered at the conference, and the chicken says to the pig, you know, with a little effort, we could give them ham and eggs for breakfast tomorrow. The chicken kind of like would have to work hard to give eggs to all those people. That's frankincense. But the pig says, for me to give ham, that's myrrh. So myrrh has that costly thing. It has some suffering in it. Myrrh is in that scripture, it's appointed for us not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. Myrrh is what Simeon says to Mary. A sword will pierce your own heart also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Myrrh is Paul saying, but I bear on my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Myrrh is the sower sowing precious seed, but sowing it with tears. There's a great line in the book of Revelation where there's a great crowd all in white robes, and John says, who are those? And the answer, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. So whatever the tribulation was, to have passed through that and to come out of it, the mark that it leaves on them, now as people who have come out of the great tribulation, now robed in white before the Lord, they bear the kind of that mark of what myrrh is all about. So again, myrrh isn't something that's burned. It's just that residue, that thing that you get by squeezing and pressing. It's often bitter, but it's very precious. It's those things found by us only on a dark road, in a lonely road, in a hard road. You know, it's the we will reign with him if we also suffer with him. It's you can wear the purple robe if you also wear the crown of thorns, type of idea. It's Jacob walking with a limp, leaning on his staff because he's wrestled with God. Got his name changed. Some pretty great things happen, but now he walks with a limp. It's Jesus, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So something that we should offer to the king are things that are marked and characterized by myrrh. Again, if frankincense speaks to, we like things easy, myrrh kind of is that kind of, we like things cheap. So three easy lessons to, no training needed. If you will provide only the chairs and the donuts, you'll probably be able to minister in Jesus' name, type of idea. It's the kind of book that Well, I wish I had bought it now. 10 anointed sermons for $4.95. Like, for $4.95, I'm like, you know, 10 of them, that's like not very much a piece, is it? 50 cents a piece for an anointed sermon. Steve Kuczynski was telling us about a book that he ran across, Soul Winning Made Easy. Those are the kind, you know, what's missing in that kind of stuff is myrrh. The three easy lessons, the 10 anointed sermons right here for you, you know, for just $4.95. The soul winning, what's missing from that is the myrrh. So when the king comes, appropriate to seek him out, even if seeking him out entails a great journey, like it did for the wise man. So it's worth making the great journey. And the reason for seeking him, the reason for making the journey, is we have come to worship him. So when you find him, fall down. Bow in worship. But then open up all your treasures and give gifts. And you say, well, what treasures should I give? Well, give gold. Give to him what God himself has given to you. Things that bear the mark of his nature, and he's the source from it. Things where you can say, you know, I see the Lord in that. So not man-made stuff, God-made stuff. Offer him that. And then offer him frankincense, choice, hard-working, devoted. Now offer to him that. I'm willing to spend. I'm willing to burn. Not easy, but I'm willing to be used up with respect to it. But it's also sweet, it's fragrant, it's pleasing. Kind of thing you say, oh, it's just so good, it's so sweet. And then offer to them myrrh. Thing that's costly, it's not cheap. Thing that's acquired and known only through trial and tribulation. Only after you pass through suffering and through death can you offer kind of such a treasure. A thing acquired and known through deep waters, but it's so precious. Offer that. So not as things that speak prophetically about Jesus, which they probably do, but as things that should mark and characterize our gifts of worship to the Lord. So much worship. I almost want to put that in quotes. So much worship nowadays is man-made, easy, and cheap. We even did market it kind of like big wood stage, you know? So it's all man-made, it's all made out of wood, and it's really easy. Oh, it's entertaining, and it's cheap, won't cost you nothing. But the wise man, and they indeed show a great deal more wisdom than much of the current thought. They set over that, offering to the Lord some treasure. God-made stuff. Stuff that had a sweet aroma and was hard, you know, it burned. And stuff that was not cheap, it was very costly. Bore on it the marks of deep suffering, many trials born in order to do it. Offer him that. So the gifts that you as an individual and that we would offer to our God, that they would be marked by such things. So that's kind of simple, I know. But hopefully it just stirs your thought about as you offer to the Lord, I'll worship. But what does he want? Offer to him gold, offer to him frankincense, offer myrrh. Let's pray together. Father, indeed the one whom you sent in your love, Father, is the king. Father, destined to be king, Father, even at his birth. Father, we would follow in the footsteps of the wise men and seek him out. Even making the great journey just to find him. Needing your help, needing your guidance to do so. But Father, we want to find him in order to worship him. So Father, before him and him alone, would we bow? Would we indeed just fall down and Father, offer ourselves in worship. Father, and then help us to know what it means to open up our treasures. and give gifts appropriate. Father, to offer to him in worship that which is made of gold, that which is sweet, fragrant frankincense, Father, and that which is costly myrrh. Father, we would not offer to him just the easy, the cheap, the man-made thing, but those treasures. So, Father, just as we close this service in worshiping him, fill us with your Spirit that our worship might be pleasing to him and to you. In his name we pray. Amen.